Okay, so as I said, so in the end of the day, I'm not giving the happy Yom HaTzmaut shir. That's going to be Reb Chaim Ozer tomorrow on some sugya. Daniel, if you want later, maybe when we learn Bechavrusa, we can talk about the sugya of saying Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut. Maybe we'll do that just you and me. I actually learned new stuff over Shabbos from a new sefer I'd picked up, but I have a Makor sheet ready. Anyways, but we did what say we would do something Yom HaZikaron related today. So, just before we start learning, obviously we'll learn Ilui Nishmat, all the soldiers who have given up their life over the last 72 years, and all the terror victims. You know, every year on Yom and on Yom HaTzmaut, on Yom HaZikaron, really, I, and especially this year, because I got a, now that I live in Efrat, the Yom HaZikaron was commemorated in his memory. When I was your age, so when I was in yeshiva, so there was a student who was with me in Shir, who the year after we left yeshiva, so when we were 21, was killed in the army in a tank accident, Uriah Liberon, and he lived in Efrat. So Efrat dedicates some of their Yom HaZikaron things to him. We got candles with his name delivered to everybody's door in Efrat. And once you once you've lost a friend, whether it be in the army, and like I said, when I was in yeshiva, the second time around when I was in the Kollel was when the three boys were kidnapped. And once you've been to a few funerals, lost some friends, the Yom HaZikaron takes on a bit of a different feeling. And I can't say that it feels the same for me as for many others who've lost much closer friends and lost many friends, unfortunately. But anyways, our learning should be Le'ilui Nishmatam. Okay, so what I wanted to do is, I'm not, this is not like super lumdus. What I want to do is develop a thought. This is not my own. Basically, there was a sale on Svarim from Karen before Pesach, and one of the Svarim that I picked up was Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon's Sefer on Avelut. And in it, he has a small chapter on commemorating soldiers who've fallen and terror victims. And I really just want to develop sort of the idea that he developed there. I put together the Makarot from his article to walk you through them, because I do think it's an interesting and meaningful development of a concept that's worth thinking about today. And that is, where is it, this notion that has developed, that people who die as soldiers or as terror victims have this unique status of kedoshim, or that there's something holy about them after they've died. It's a concept which, as we'll see, is borrowed from the world of dying al kiddush Hashem, which is sort of the classic. But the classic is, someone holds a gun to your head and says, "Convert to whatever other religion or die," and you say, "I'm going to give up my life for God." So that, we understand, is dying al kiddush Hashem. But where exactly did this concept come from, that when you're dying for the Jewish people, in the case of soldiers, or in the case of terror victims, you're dying simply because you're identified as a Jew, but your involvement is only com is basically completely passive, that enough is enough to identify you as someone who died al kiddush Hashem? So where exactly, how exactly did this progression of ideas come into being, and what does it tell us about the nature of kiddush Hashem? So what I really did was collect his Makarot, and I want to walk through them to try to put ourselves in the mood a little bit of Yom HaZikaron. So if you look at the sources that I have here, oh, what happened. Sorry. So number one. So number one, actually, the guys who are in my Agadah Tashir have seen versions of this. But the first source that he notes that there is a special status to people who die al Kiddush Hashem. Again, we haven't yet we extended this category to the people who commemorate Yom HaZikaron. But the first source he quotes as this notion that those who die al Kiddush Hashem have unique place is from this midrash, but it's actually a version of it is in the Gemara in Menachah Kuf Yud on the last daf of our Masechta. Let me actually pull up the version from our Gemara. So in our Gemara, it says as follows. The Gemara says that the Olam Zot al Yisrael, the Pasuk says, and if you see it, it's pulled up, that in the context of Beit HaMikdash, it says, Hineni voneh bayit l'shem Adonai Elohai, lakdish lo lakdir lefanav ktoret samim umarechet tamid v'olot laboker v'la'erev, l'shabbatot l'chadashim lo moadeh Adonai Eloheinu le'olam zot al Yisrael. Shlomo says he's building the Beit HaMikdash forever. So Chazal asked the question, what do you mean forever? The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Gemara gives several answers. And Rav Gidol says, Amar Rav Gidol Marav, it's the heavenly Mizbeach where Michael, the Malach, brings Karbanot. Now, what exactly does he bring? So there are different traditions, and one of the traditions that is becomes very popular amongst the Balei HaTosfot, but it appears in certain collections of the Midrashim, is here what I have in source one, which is v'chi kvasim hu makriv. What does he bring? Ela amru chachamim, Michael sar shel Yisrael hu kohen gadol b'shamayim. Michael is the kohen gadol in heaven. U'miyom shecharav Beit HaMikdash sheyivneh b'meirah v'yameinu v'atlu kohanim. And since the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, may it be rebuilt. Hu makriv Nishmatan shel tzadikim. He brings the souls of the tzadikim, which in the Balei HaTosfot becomes the souls of those who were who sacrificed themselves al Kiddush Hashem. And there was an Ashkenazi tradition to understand that when we say the bracha of Ritzei and we talk about Ishe Yisrael, it's actually the souls of the Jewish people who sacrificed themselves that are ki'ilu, the korban that Michael brings and continues the role of the Beit HaMikdash after the korban. Now, the notion that the souls are specifically those who die al Kiddush Hashem comes, and that dying al Kiddush Hashem gives you a certain status regardless of how much of a tzaddik you were in your life, comes from the following Gemara in Bava Batra. The Gemara in Bava Batra tells you that once, ki hadi Yosef breder of Yehoshua chalash, inget, Yosef, the son of Yehoshua, he got sick, and he had some sort of vision, some sort of near-death experience. So Amar Le, Avo my chazit, what did you see? Amar Lo, he said, in heaven, Olam hafuch ra'iti. I see that the world is upside down. Elyonim limata, v'tachtonim limala. What is up in this world is down in that world, and what's down in that world is up in this world. Amar Lo, he said, Olam barur ra'ita. What you see is the true world. So then he said, "Va'anan hechi chazitanan, chazatinan. What do talmidei chachamim look like? People like us in that world, are we upside down also? Meaning, if we're respected in this world, are we not respected in that world?" So he said, "No. Amar lei ki hecha dechashvinan hacha chashvinan atam. Talmidei chachamim are respected in both worlds. Vishamati shahu omrim, and I heard that they used to say, or they say." Praiseworthy are those who have come to heaven and they have their Torah in their hands. Vishamati shayomrim, and I also heard them saying, Harugei Malchut, those who were killed by the king, ain kol bri'ah yicholah la'amod b'mechitzatah. Nobody can stand in their section of heaven. And the Mepharshim suggests that their holiness is so holy that they get burnt. So the Gemara said, who are these people? B'mayin inhu. Ilema Rabbi Akiva v'chavei rav. If you think it's Rabbi Akiva and his students, Mishum haruge malchut v'tulo, is their only uniqueness because they were killed by the king as Jews? They were Talmidei Chachamim to begin with. Right? The Asara haruge malchut. Pshita b'lav al-chinami. They were special without dying al kiddush Hashem. So the Gemara says, Ella haruge lud. These are the people who were killed in Lud. Who is that? So Rashi clarifies in 3. Lulianus upapus achim shaharagom terainus harasha biludkaya. These were Lulainus and Papus who were killed, as it explains in Ta'anit, al yidegzerash and egzeral Yisrael lashmid al shenim tzeit bat melech haruga v'chashdu Yisrael alea v'amdu ha'achim alalu v'amru malachim ha'Yisrael anu harganua. There was essentially a blood libel against the Jewish people, and they were going to kill all the Jewish people. So to stop that from happening, two Jews, Lulainus and Papus, claimed that they were guilty, that they had killed this girl, this princess, and this way they were killed, and the rest of the Jews were not killed. And similarly, Rabbeinu Gershom says, Pamachat nimtzeit bat melech haruga, mushlechet barachov, v'lo noda mi haraga, v'chashdu l'chol yudim, v'rotza hamelech l'shloach yad b'chulan, ad shebo'u shnayim u'masru atzman, v'amru shein arguha, v'etzilu et kulan al yada. So this is the first source. Now here, if you ask me, right, what is the concept of the person who's dying al kiddush Hashem here? It's very specific, right? It's someone who was moser nefesh for the Jewish people, right? Meaning the only thing you look at from this Gemara, it's powerful, but what it says specifically is that if someone gives up their life on behalf of the Jewish people, to save the Jewish people, they have some sort of unique status. But what's clear from this Gemara is that includes someone who is not otherwise a tzaddik, right? Meaning the Gemara clarifies, Rabbi Akiva was a tzaddik before he died al kiddush Hashem. Willing to be moser nefesh for Klal Yisrael gives you a status, right? That you definitely learn from this Gemara. And the story that the Gemara brings it from, that the Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershom quote, is this Gemara here in Ta'anit, that my Torainos, who is this person? So Amru Kishibikish Torainos Laharoget Lulainos Upapas Achav Belukaya. When this happened, when he wanted to kill them, so Amru Lahem Ime Amot Al Chanan Mishael Vazari Atem, he basically challenged them. He said, look, if you're from the same people as Chanan Mishael Vazariah, who were thrown into the fire in Sefer Daniel, so Yovel Aleichem V'Yatzil Etchem Miyadi K'derech Shehitzel Et Chanan Et Mishal V'Azar Miyad Nebuchadnezzar. Just like God saved Chanan Et Mishal V'Azariah from the fiery furnace when Nebuchadnezzar threw them in, let him save you. And they said, look, Amr Lo, Chanan Et Mishal V'Azariah Tzadikim G'murun Ayu. That's not going to happen. We're going to die. Because they were tzadikim. They were perfect, and we're not. They were worthy of having a miracle happen to them. And Nebuchadnezzar was a proper king, not a tzaddik, a proper king. And therefore it was worth having a miracle happen through him. You're nothing. And we're rishayim. We're going to be destroyed anyways. We're not good people. If you don't kill us, someone else will kill us. Right? God will find another way. He can send a lion or a bear God let us be killed by you, so you eventually get punished. And afal pichen hargan miyad, and they got killed, etc. So what you see even more clearly in the actual story is that these weren't necessarily good people, right? They tell him, we're not going to be saved by a miracle. We're not good people, right? We're going to die because we deserve to die. And nevertheless, in Bava Batra, these people are the people who are, no one can stand up to them in heaven. So the first thing you see clearly is the Gemara does have this concept. Yes, Daniel.
You said that it gives them a separate status if they're willing to die on the Hashem. Is that just, do they have to do like an action that shows that they're willing to, or in their minds that they're already?
Good, so this is exactly what I'm trying to develop. So here, if I just had this Gemara, I would say that this concept is limited, right? It's someone who says, look, I'm willing to sacrifice my life on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and I know that I don't deserve to be here. I know I don't deserve a miracle. Those people in that moment represented Klal Yisrael, and therefore that action, right, meaning as Rashi says it, what did they do? They prevented Klal Yisrael from being killed by falsely admitting that they committed a crime so that their tyrannos would take out his wrath on them. If I only had this Gemara, I would say that this status is given to people who do an action to go out of their way to be Moshe Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. That's what I would know, right? Maybe that would be enough to give us the category for soldiers. It would probably not give us enough to extend it to people who were killed, you know, at a restaurant in a terror attack. Right? Where it's passive. So where do we get this idea? Because this idea appeared during the Holocaust, and it appears again now, often during attacks, right, terror attacks. So I want to basically develop this concept. Yes, Daniel.
You want people to think that because it helps.
Okay, you're right. And like I said, I'm not giving a lumdishir where I'm showing both sides. You could argue, right? What I want to do is go through the Gemara and show how you're right. At each stage, it could be that this category really doesn't apply. But it's not from nowhere, right? I want to try to understand where the concept comes from. Because you're right. If I stopped at this Gemara, you could say, Ma pitom. Maybe this applies to soldiers, because they really are Moser Nefesh. So that I sort of see. There's a quick equation. But people who passively die, you know, I don't know, right? I don't know yet. But what I want to do is I want to trace the concept, because there is source of this concept, and as you trace it, you see what exactly different Rishonim and Achronim thought the key concept was in this Gemara. So the next source is the Rambam. Okay, this is the Rambam in Igeret HaShema. Maybe you did with Rav Shmuel David at some point, right? It's either known as Igeret HaShema, because it was a letter he wrote to people who had to fake conversion to Islam. It's also called Ma'amar Kiddush HaShem. So the Rambam said as follows, Hamina Shlishi, B'madregara Ne'eragim Al Kiddush HaShem V'Anusim Bonos HaShema. The third category of these special people are those who were killed on Kiddush Hashem. But, ki b'chol makom sh'amru bo chazal yihareg val yavor, im yihareg kvar kiddush Hashem. Any time where God says, die rather than violate the Torah, and you die, so that's a Kiddush Hashem. Now again, that makes a lot of sense, because you gave up your life to represent God. Right, we have all these examples. And Azuli chasidai kartai briti ali zevach, etc. And Chazal quote this. V'ish, skip over here. V'ish zikeu ha'el lahalot b'mala eliana kazot klomar sheneherag al kiddusha Hashem afilu hayu avonotav kamo yeravam ben nevat v'chaveirav hu me'olam haba v'afilu lo haya tamid chacha. So anyone who was killed al kiddusha Hashem, no matter how much of a Rasha he was, even if he's like Yeravam, even if he's not a Talmid Chacham, he goes to Olam Haba. V'kol shekein de'ika Torah masim tovim ela harugei lud. All right, and that's what he learns from harugei lud. Now, just from the Rambam again, so we basically, when you combine the two, you have two types, right? You have someone who dies representing the spiritual cause of the Jewish people, and then you have the example of Pappus and Luninus who die to save the physical lives of the Jewish people. But we still don't yet have, right? So that we have. What we have to still develop is what if it's more, right? And what we have clearly is this is true even if somebody is himself not a tzaddik before that moment. Like I said, the line from this to a soldier is pretty straight, right? Meaning you have the spiritual category, which is classic Kiddush Hashem. But then, the way Rashi Rabbeinu Gershom understand it, the Harugei Lud is someone who died to save people, to save the Jewish people physically. So the line from this category to soldiers is pretty easy to make. And you'll see that Rav Kook makes it directly in the following source. It's an article he wrote about soldiers who have fallen called Al Bamotenu Chalal. And he was asked the question. He says, She'ila k'tana she'alta mimen. You asked me a question. She'ila kazot. Asher Adam she'inu sarvan shekamoni bevadai choshev ata v'tzedek shemenu tekev u'miyad bezrizut shel kol ruach dima achat l'tovnot shel dmaot achalei barameinu nod chadash u'dmaot chadashot al chalalim chadashim achalim tzedirim v'ananim shenishbach tamam bidei b'nechar po ba'aretz avot. Right, he says, this is very poetic, but he said, we're basically asking about the new tears that fill up this jug. The tears that have fallen for those who've died for Israel. And who are they? Young people, which makes it more tragic. Lo stam tzeirim, not just any young people. Elet tzeirim, bali levaregesh, bali nishama, right? These emotionally committed people, shebao l'shem tchiyat ha'umah ha'aretz, who came to fight on behalf of renewing the Jewish people. V'shama asu b'chol idei chayim, They gave up even on the ideal of living to sacrifice for this. Right? Whose heart will not melt, essentially? And then he says, look, I don't personally know many of these soldiers. Asher naflu chalal b'mamdam la'avod ravodatam be'eretz Yisrael b'toch chalutzei atchiyah ha'lumit, who gave up their lives to bring about the renewal of the Jewish nation. L'fi alach rucham. Me'achad l'rav asher nizdam min ha'davar sh'ay lefnei eze din u'dvarim al odor hazveinu, etc. Right, they came, I'm just skipping around here, they came b'leif tahor, with a pure spirit, pure heart. Ba'al eretz Yisrael b'chol cham lev, with all the warmth of heart shel ha'avad u'mit, national love of Tchiyat Ha'am Va'aretz. And he said, B'sha'ot asher chai acharei ha'yiriyah, he said he knew a particular soldier that he was talking about, who after he was shot, Beit asher yadav barur sho'olech lamud, as he knew he was dying, hebi'a bin menucha shenafsho shoketet. He knew that his life was ending. Ki meitu ba'ad avodat ha'tchiyah Yisraelit be'eretz Yisrael. And he knew that he was dying for the Jewish cause. Halev hatsair haomer lemarei chayim alizim sheiru elav etikvatam, and he tells me, menu, this young heart, this joyous life that was filled with hope that is now being taken, lezicher aim shkula, right? And now there's left a bereft mother, etc. Right, it found some calm. At some margoa biregeya farvur ben chaim v'amavet. It finds some calm in this moment between life and death. Right, meaning as this teenager, this 20-year-old, whatever, is dying, birayon shu meit bavodah l'shem tchiyat Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael. L'mare neraz zol l'nishmal yina kazod, for this terrible sight, this elevated soul, shamayim eretz yachdav yanu, heaven and earth will answer kadosh, that he is holy. And other soldiers clearly are like this as well. Skipping down. Hachemla ha'leumit motzeh kanet menuchata. The national compassion finds here some sort of solace. It's terrible that this is the price we have to pay. This is the right. This is what we have to use. Shavim anu el halachash anu roim ba eramit hava achre azama atzor k'shenraga idin achre metablim alakol. And he said, what we know from halacha is that when people are killed by the non-Jews, it didn't matter what they were like in their life. We mourn for them. Gam al nivdalim agmurim kanfei chesed shel avat ein brushot asher acharei asher nargim b'yed zarim kol anot chalusha yizo. Even those who were totally separate from Judaism, when they were killed by the strangers, it doesn't matter anymore. We mourn for all of them. And he quotes from Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya Shinmem, Yesh Omrim Shem Mumar Shneherag, Bidin Achrim Medabrim Alav. And he said, they're not even that bad. Right? This is, if even for a Mumar who was killed of Kiddush Hashem, we would mourn. So for sure, someone who was not religious, but he was Ochzit, right? Khalila Nalachniz, Gamed Agrim Shurajim, Midarchi Tibor Shalana, Ochzim, Biadam, Degala, Uma, Vikinab, Ezat, Surashit, Yeh. But they still nationalistically identified with the Jews. They're not Bechlal Shemurim and Nivdalim, Vikurim Legamre, right? They're not those who are cut off from the Jewish people. Etc. And then he quotes the Gemaras that we saw. Etc. So right, Rav Kook basically, right, says that, you know, logically speaking, right, he says it in this poetic way, but soldiers clearly fall into that category of Pupas and Lunainos, who, again, they admit that they weren't Tzaddikim, but they died for the Jewish people. And therefore, he says, it's clear that this category applies to soldiers. And lest you say that it's only Zionists, right, who say this, The Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted as saying this also, who was essentially from the Haredi world. And he wrote, the following story is told about him, that Gam Benosei Chayalei Tzahal Hibia Rav Orbach Emdam Ad Shonem Mea Mekubal B'Sivyado Haredit. Kasher Yishiv L'Bachor B'Yishiva Shebikesh V'Shut L'Nsoa B'Tkufan L'Limudim L'Kibrei Tzadikim B'Tzafon Kach B'Shvil Et Balei Al Tzivrei Tzadikim Yitzorach L'Nsoa Ad Galil. Kishani margish tzorch lipalel al kivrei tzadikim ani olech lahar Herzl. The kivrei chayalim shenaflu al kiddush Hashem imzod batzmo lerabal lipalel al kivrei tzadikim. Right, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach didn't usually go to daven by kivrei tzadikim, but someone once asked him, "Can I take a day off from yeshiva in Yerushalayim to go to the north where all the tzadikim are buried?" And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, "Why do you need to go to the north? When I feel like I need to daven by the kivrei tzadikim, I just go to Har Herzl where the soldiers are buried." Right, so here, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach takes the same position essentially as Rav Kook. And again, this is very easy to see in the sources. The bigger chiddush is, as Daniel noted before, is does this carry over, does the status carry over to someone who is passive, right? To someone who was killed because they were a Jew in a terror attack, but there wasn't an act of Mesiras Nefesh, right? And here the Lumdish question, so to speak, is, right, the first step is if someone dies, Al Kiddush Hashem, meaning someone holds a gun to their head and says, if you don't worship Avodah Zarah, I'll kill you, and he dies, everyone understands that he performed an act of Kiddush Hashem. The Kiddush of the Gemara is that even someone who dies to save Jewish people, that's also an act of Kiddush Hashem. But the question here, lumdishly, we have to ask is, what if someone is a chefza of Kiddush Hashem, essentially, right? Meaning, passively, against their will, they became a representative of the Jewish people. Is that enough to achieve this status? And that's the lumdish question you have to ask. Yeah, Daniel.
I think it's a bit of a stretch, but you could say that it's not completely passive. These people that are dying of terrorist attacks, if they're dying because they're Jewish, that means that people that are killing them know they're Jewish. So they're actively, in one way or another, either living in Israel or dressing like a Jew, wearing a kippah or tzitzis or something. They're actively going out into the world knowing.
Good. So I think there's two ways you could get to this conclusion. Good. So one way of getting there is to say, is to expand our notion of what it means to live in such a way that you are not passive. Right? And you could say, look, if you choose to live in Israel and you know the danger, and you know that people are out to get you, and you continue to live normal life as a Jew in Eretz Israel, which is where you're supposed to be, where the Jewish people are supposed to be, so that's enough for it to be active. And that would be one conceptual way of getting it. The other is to argue that what gives the status is not just the choice to die al Kiddush Hashem, but is the reality that anyone who dies because they're identified as a Jew, in a certain sense, represents God in a way that is just inalienable to the very situation. And as much as a Kiddush this might be, it appears in the first time in Reb Chaim Or Zarua, who is one of the later Balei HaTosfot, the son of the Or Zarua. Remember Reb Yitzchak of Vienna, we've talked about him. In this tshuva, in Yudalit, someone had asked him, Horav Amar She'en Le'Dabel Al Kedoshim, you said we shouldn't mourn for those who, the holy ones. And I say, I say you've never had your feet in the Beit HaMidrash, right? You know what you're doing. You have no place here. You need atonement for what you just said. Because the Gemara says that those who are Haruge Betin, Mit'ablin Alav, etc. And the Gemara says, right, that people who are killed, even who are sinners and were killed by Betin, so once they, right, do vidui, they have kapara. And in that context, the Gemara says, let me just get the key lines here. Right, he said there's a Gemara. There's a machloket in the Gemara about certain, right, people. Why is there like a drawing on my screen? I don't understand. Okay, about Haruge Beit Din, right, people who were sinners. But then he says, if there's a machloket in the Gemara about whether someone who's killed for a sin, for a crime in Beit Din, whether they get kapara without vidui, then someone who's killed for being Jewish, not because they were committed a crime, there everyone's going to agree that they don't need to do vidui. Their death itself is a kapara. And he says, "Aval haruge goyim dilav bedin kom mikatle." Whatever you say about them, they weren't killed by right. Right? There's a machloket even in the Gemara about someone who's killed by betin, where they deserve to be killed. But someone who's killed by a non-Jew simply because they're a Jew, his death alone is a kapara for whatever he might have done. And my father wrote this in the Yard Zeruah, that Adam Sha'avar Aveira Sheish Bachiv Mita, Umay Bitoch Risho, Dahinu Kodam Shasa Tshuva, Ain Midabalan Alav, right? If someone didn't do tshuva, so you may, and was a Rasha in his life, so you might not mourn for him. But Nerag Bide Goyim Mitoch Risho, Havile Kapara, that if he was killed by non Jews, that itself is atonement. And if he wasn't a total Rasha, for sure, you're gonna mourn for them. And if you say you don't mourn for them, you are saying Lashon Hara about them. Now here you start to see this move, right? That even someone who's killed, who is not a good person, even somewhat passively, at the very minimum, it's a kapara for him, and therefore it transforms him to someone who's worth mourning for. So here already you see that. Now he says not quite this yet, right? I mean, so far all he said, if someone dies, was killed by non-Jews simply because he was a Jew, if nothing else, that's kapara, right? So if nothing else, the reason you have to mourn for him is because he died a death he didn't deserve, and therefore he got kapara through his death. And then at the end of the tshuva, he says, This is a huge chiddush, right? That his wife should never be remarried. I don't think we pass in that way. So here, the Marach Orzura takes half a step closer, right? He says, dying al Kiddush Hashem means dying because you refuse to convert. But he says, anyone who's killed by non-Jews, even if it wasn't, quote, dying al Kiddush Hashem, at the very least it's kapara. So it does make them into good people at some level, right? So you already begin the logical process towards saying that simply being killed because you're a Jew at least provides kapara, if nothing else, because you died an undeserved death. The move, now here it's where the Achronim take basically this half a step beyond that and say, that, right, the Marach or Zeruah already says that passively being killed provides kapara, and the Achronim take the Marach Zeruah that half a step farther and say it's not just that it provides kapara, but once you say that it provides kapara and makes you into a good person, when you were killed because you were a Jew, and, you know, especially if you add what Daniel said before, that you chose to live in a country where you were identified as a Jew, knowing the danger, that death is not just mechaper, but it's one that makes you into someone who dies al Kiddush Hashem. And again, this argument was started to be made, you know, it's not just made in Israel by Zionists, it was made by many of the Achronim or the modern thinkers when talking about people who died in the Holocaust. Here, this is a Hasidish anti-Zionist posseg writing it about Holocaust, people who were killed in the Holocaust, which again is, in a certain sense, parallel to people who die in terrorist attacks simply because they're Jewish. Again, it wasn't active, it wasn't them dying to represent God, it was dying simply as passive objects, as Jews, so to speak. And he basically constructs this argument. I'll just show you a few key lines here. And he writes, he quotes all the sources that we've seen, the Rambam and the Gemaraot. He He said, right, someone challenged him. He said, he said, someone tried to suggest that maybe someone who dies before he recognizes God, so maybe he gets some sort of kapara, but it's not enough to give him full kapara. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. Since he dies al kiddush Hashem, meaning, as a Jew, that's enough to be mechaper. He says, it's just obvious to me that being killed because you're a Jew, that means that no matter what you do, your death, you were an object of Jewishness. That's why you were killed. That is a passive statement, whether you like it or not, and therefore you became an object of Kiddush Hashem. So Hareza Nereg al Kiddush Hashem. Klalahu ukolo kulam mamash. It includes everyone. Dechevan de b'shem Yisrael yuchune. Since you are known as a Jew, u'bishvil shu mizer Yisrael neherag, and you were killed for that, harehu nichnas bechal Yisrael. Your death makes you, right, a representative of Jewishness. And that's just what it is, right? And basically, he takes this argument of the Maharach Arzurah half a step farther and argues that once you see that death itself can be mechaper, maybe being killed as a Jew itself not only is a mechaper, but because you're being killed as a Jew, you become a representative of Jewishness through your death, and that's enough to make your death an instantiation of Kiddush Hashem. And he's essentially making this more about those who die in the Holocaust, I assume. And you'll see that the Eish Kodesh in 12 said this in Ghetto Varsha, right? In the Warsaw Ghetto in 12. And he says that, Efshar Gita B'Sifrei, etc. Shamoser Nafsho Ba'ad Yisrael Gadum and Amoser Nafsho Ba'ad Hashem Levad. He said, it's not just that, but if you give your life up for the Jewish people, you're even greater than one who only gave up your life for God without the Jewish people. Because you were giving up your life for the prince, and the king loves his son, and therefore loves this person who died for that. You're giving up your life for God and for his son, right? For the Jewish people. And again, here in the Mishnah Halacha, he says, right? People who died from the Scud missiles during the Gulf War, Shagayim Shalchul bin Israel, which were sent against the Jewish people, he said, if from our enemy's vantage point, it doesn't matter whether you keep the Torah or b'makom acher, sharei shalchul tel aviv u'bnei brak, right? Because he said, the Scud missiles fell both on Tel Aviv and Bnei Brak. It shows that they don't care, right? They see us as Jews. Lushar b'chol makom sheyesh yehudim, im kem ha'am chas v'sholm ha'klal kulo yatu v'kulam ayu b'chlal. And therefore, from our enemy's vantage point, we are all Jews, and they're attacking the Jewish people. Im nafal haskad mehagoyim. And the scuds fell on all Jews equally from Iraq. L'fia ni'edati hu begeder acher v'lo begeder sh'arugei akum. Harugei akum b'shvil shem b'nei Yisrael. This is not a normal harugei akum. It's you're killed because you're a Jew. U'kvar katavti sh'gam v'melchama achrona sh'ergu yoter m'shishit milyon. And he says, it's the same as I wrote about the Holocaust. Afilu shelav kol echad holech l'mitzor atzma. He said, sure, people weren't giving up their lives. They didn't mean to give up their lives. But in the end of the day, they did. Aval kevin shenergu kechelek niklal Yisrael. They died as part of the Jewish people. Ba'oto rasha shafach hamato al kol nefesh Yisrael. And Hitler was trying to kill all Jews. And therefore, anyone who was killed because they are Jewish, whether it be in the Nazis or terrorist attacks or the Scud missiles, they are definitionally objects of Kedoshim and representatives of the Jewish people. Now again, this is definitely more obvious when it comes to soldiers than when it comes to those who are killed passively. But as we've seen, the poskim following the Maror HaZeruah and taking it half a step farther assume that the category of Kiddush Hashem isn't just being willing to be Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem, but it is even simply representing the Jewish people by virtue of who you are and the way you're viewed by our enemies. One more story to bring to just make a point specifically about soldiers is from Rav Bustman, who was another Haredi gadol. But I think it's a beautiful story which I've seen in several places. This is from an article by Ari Khan, and he writes as follows. Rav Gushman mobilized his yeshiva. All of his students joined him in performing the mitzvah of burying the dead. At the cemetery, Rav Gushman was agitated. He surveyed the rows of graves of the young men, soldiers who died defending the land. On the way back to the cemetery, Rav Gushman turned to another passenger in the car and said, "They are all holy." Another passenger questioned the rabbi, "Even the non-religious soldiers?" Rav Gushman replied, "Every single one of them." He then turned to the driver and said, "Take me to Professor Aumann's home. The family had just returned from the cemetery and would now begin the week of Shiva, mourning for their son, brother, husband, Shlomo, and father. Shlomo was married and had one child. His widow, Shlomit, gave birth to the second daughter shortly after he was killed. Rav Gushman entered and asked to sit next to Professor Aumann, who said, "Rabbi, I so appreciate..." Professor Aumann, by the way, he won the Nobel Prize in economics. He's an Israeli, he's a frum Jew who won the Nobel Prize for game theory. Rav Gushman entered and asked to sit next to Professor Aumann, who said, "Rabbi, I so appreciate your coming to the cemetery, but now it is time for you to return to your yeshiva." Rav Gushman spoke first in Yiddish and then in Hebrew so that all those assembled would understand. "I'm sure you don't know this, but I had a son named Meir. He was a beautiful child. He was taken from my arms and executed. I escaped. I later bartered my child's shoes so that we'd have food, but I was never able to eat the food. I gave it away to others. My mayor is a kadosh. He's holy. He and all the 6 million who perished are holy." Rav Gushman then added, "I'll tell you what is transpiring now in the world of truth, in Gan Eden, in heaven. My mayor is welcoming your Shlomo into the minyan and is saying to him, 'I died because I am a Jew, but I wasn't able to save anyone else. But you, Shlomo, you died defending the Jewish people in the land of Israel. My mayor is a kadosh, he is holy. But your Shlomo is a shliach tzibur, a cantor in that holy heavenly minyan.'" Rav Gushman continued, "I never had the opportunity to sit shiva before my mayor. Let me sit here with you just a little longer." Professor Aumann replied, "I thought I could never be comforted, but Rebbe, you have comforted me." And here you see that Rav Gushman basically takes both of the things we've seen. On the one hand, it's clear that the soldiers who give up their lives actively made that decision. They are a more intense status of dying al Kiddush Hashem, right? The way he puts it, so to speak, they are the chazan and the heavenly minyan. But those who die simply because they're Jewish are also the kadoshim. And therefore, in this Rav Gushman story, you sort of see both of what we've seen. That there is some sort of status of kadosh to anyone who dies because they're a Jew simply by virtue of the fact they represent the Jewish people. But it's clearly true that the more classic category, those who choose to die on behalf of the Jewish people and for Hashem, take a unique status. And I think, therefore, it's worth today, having learned this in the schut of both those who've died passively simply because they're Jews, whether that be in terror attacks or whatever it might be for living as Jews, and kal vachomer to commemorate those who actively chose to be mekadesh shem shamayim. And here, as I said, this is really pshat in the Gemara with no logical extensions. Those who died for the Jewish people, which the Gemara said, no matter who they were in their lifetime, that act of sacrifice for the Jewish people makes them kedoshim, makes them manifestations of Kiddush Hashem. I think just learning a little bit the sugya of why it is that we give so much value to them in their deaths should be a schut to them on Yom HaZikaron. So like I said, tomorrow, right, Reb Chaim Ozer will give a shiur on Yom HaTzmaut. There are all the links that we sent out to other opportunities. Shkoyach, guys. Have a meaningful the rest of